this is truly illogical. I understand your questions. Okay. Those who do believe are being trained to rule in the coming kingdom. Okay, now, Revelation 20, which is the, I put this in here, is the description of the Great White Throne Judgment. Just so you know what passage we're talking about. Tells of a time when all will be raised and the books will be opened. Okay, you know that part, don't you? But did you know that these books are the Bible? And when this happens, the people can decide whether to repent or choose evil and go to hell where they will be destroyed. I told you it didn't make sense. Now, Bruce, I think you were trying to ask a question. Thank you for letting me finish the thought there.
According to the scripture, after death, it's over.
That's right.
I agree.
So where do they get this out of the Bible? I mean, I'm getting kind of confused on this whole thing because I try to read the Bible and I try to understand it. I'm not the brightest one in this room. I know it. But I thought after death, you talked about the white throne judgment. That's for the ones that have refused Christ.
Their explanation is, everybody will have a chance to accept or reject Christ at that point. And then they go back to this idea, yeah, if you reject Christ, you will go to hell.
But now is the day of salvation.
Exactly.
We are not promised tomorrow.
I agree. But they talk as though, on this television program, Dory, bear me out, you heard the thing. Who said they heard of Meredith? Okay. He makes it sound as though he's giving an invitation, doesn't he?
Yes. And also, he talks a lot about prophecy. He's saying that Germany is going to come back to rule again like they did before Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
I heard that just this Sunday morning. I heard that.
So you can see, they take it all and twist it. I mean, if you thought the restored Church of God was dangerous,
this is more dangerous.
Theirs is more legalism,
yeah.
Control of people. Here, it's teaching scripture, presenting a scripture what's not scripture at all. And how many people in the world do you think? See the difference? How much do they know about the Bible that they can even come up and see the difference in this belief in this false salvation that they teach?
It's very insidious.
You're right. It's very insidious. You don't see it.
It's almost too close to be. Makes me very nervous.
Yeah.
I think it would be.
May I make a comment?
You certainly may.
Mike Smith, I've been listening to this, and I've been listening to some of the terminology, and be very careful with these cults because they use the same terminology that we use.
Mm-hmm.
I use the term, for example, in a Christian Churches of Christ, we use the term restoration movement, but in talking about it, it means nothing akin to what's being talked about there. I'm sure that in your churches there are terms and stuff that you will find that they're using, but when you use them, they mean something totally different from what these cults are using. So be sure when somebody talks in these terms, make them define what they're saying.
Yes.
It sounds to me like we really, as Christians, really need to read the Word of God and know and try to understand so we don't fall into the trap, because the devil comes as an angel of light.
You know, he comes as an angel of light, and there's another one there, and he comes as, and you know, the scripture says he comes like a roaring lion. And there was a little boy there was a little boy in my Sunday school class this past year, and he said, you know, he said, Miss Martha, you said the devil comes like a roaring lion. And he said, you know what else? He comes like a sneaky kitten. And I got to tell you, I inherited a kitten out of humanitarian reasons a month ago. And this kitten doesn't walk.
He runs,
but he is so quick and he is so sneaky. And after the little boy made that statement, and he's absolutely right. Satan is that sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a few more things they believe. The law is summed up in the Ten Commandments. Okay. They are to be obeyed to the letter and in the spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Now, see here, they talked about salvation, and now you see why they can't say that Christ is trying to save everybody, because they can't live up to these Ten Commandments. And so they'll say to man, well, that's all right, do the best you can, and God is going to give you another chance. Now, sin is the transgression of the law of God, and the penalty is death. Wait, that's true, but what? But we're talking about, are you, now I'm playing devil's advocate because I know, Marcus, what you believe. Are you agreeing with them saying that if you reject Christ, you sin, you are going to be annihilated, destroyed?
Ultimately, in the end, yes.
You're not going to suffer in hell.
Oh, you mean ultimately destroyed as in?
Yeah.
No. You will suffer in hell for all eternity.
They believe that you're going to be destroyed.
Yep.
Do you see? Now, do you see what just happened there? I know what he believes, and I knew he didn't, and I was going to make it, you know, it can straighten it out. But if I did not straighten that out, that would have just added to the confusion. Now, the first and second death. Now, this death is the cessation or the end of life. The end of life. Any consciousness. So in other words, first life. All humans will be resurrected. Okay. Those who reject the gospel will suffer the second death, annihilation, or I don't like to use big words, just wiped out. Okay. I mean, I don't ever want anyone to walk away from one of my seminars and say, I didn't understand that word. I you know, a doctor in front of my name does not mean I have to use all those giant words. They believe you're going to be wiped out. Born again. Okay, now, here we go. We got this one out of one of their books, too. Born again means that after a period of spiritual growth. Let that sink in a minute. No, wait, but let it sink in. True Christians will be the immortal children of God. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, you're immortal now. Okay, now, the whole thing is, true Christians will be children of God. What does it say in 1 John 3:2? Anybody know that one? That verse, the very beginning, the first phrase. Thank you. Now are we the sons of God. When is now? Now. Now. Yeah. Paul says, now are we the sons of God. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's John. Yeah. Okay. Now, here we go then. And here are the future tenses used. Again, this is not English class, but pay attention to what they're saying. Little words. Yeah, they will be the children of God. Oh, you thought we were. Well, you know what? You just didn't understand this group, Gary. I mean, I just use words like now, will, little words, wiped out, things you understand. They use the big things, the big words, and you don't, and they talk so smoothly and glibly. This Roderick Meredith, he is really good.
Yeah, he is.
Sounds like a guy at Atlanta Church. He's got a slick tongue. He can talk an Eskimo out of an ice cube, make him feel good.
Okay.
A wolf in sheep's clothing.
Okay, now I got a little bit more, and then I'll put some time at the end for comments. And then here, they also believe in the British Israelitism, that Anglo-American or English-speaking people are the descendants of the lost 10 tribes of Israel and possess the blessings of those 10 tribes. Okay, they believe in the dietary laws between clean and unclean animals. Now, we all know what happened to those laws, don't we?
Yes.
Now, look, having said that, let me say this. If you do not believe that you should eat pork and pork products, that is your choice. And if I know that you do not eat pork or pork products, and you come to my home, I should not serve you that. Because that is causing you to stumble.
That's scriptural.
That's right.
Where is it that Paul says one man esteemeth one day and one another, one will eat meat and one won't? Oh, thank you.
But they say
14.
That we should observe these dietary laws today. They follow, this group celebrates the whole year of Jewish feasts and festivals.
Oh, the tabernacles and all that.
Yeah. In other words, early September, they will celebrate Rosh Hashanah and then Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. And then they say that there are three periods of judgment. Well, no, there's three. You don't understand.
Wait a minute. Do I have to show my ignorance?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what they say. In the church age, God judges his own people. A millennial age, all will be exposed to the truth. The 1,000 years after you're resurrected.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing. If I use a term you don't, you know, if I threw one in there that I didn't think needed to be explained, ask if you don't understand. Then you come to the last judgment. All who have never had a fair chance to hear will be able to respond to the gospel. Those who refuse will be wiped out.
No. That's not even scriptural.
I know. Now, here comes... Okay. Bruce? Well,
we are judged by Christ, and that God judges the way through judges those that have heard his word and refused it.
I don't know, but they came up with it. I mean, I'm sure in their books that I got, I'm sure that probably there was a fuller explanation, but I had a hard time listening to this stuff.
If I'm wrong, Martha, tell me. Correct me here if I'm wrong. I'm not ashamed to admit I don't know something.
No, you're right about what the Bible says. I listen to these books by way of my scanner. And let me tell you, if you think it's easy listening to this stuff and it's twisting the Word of God, it broke my heart that how sincerely this man preaches and TBN and everything, how many people will go to hell because they've listened to him. And I'm saying that loudly. Susan, I'm sorry. I know you have trouble with that. But I feel angry. Yeah, I guess that you would say that. But it makes me very sorry. Yes.
In other words, they're similar to another religion where they say they're not using the word purgatory, but, you know, when you die, you go in one place mm-hmm. and you stay a while, and maybe you can pray that person out of that place mm-hmm. so that they can go to heaven, or either, I know it is, but I didn't want to use Catholicism.
Okay, but it's similar to that practice.
That's what I'm listening to, and it's no such thing. It's not in the Bible. There is no purgatory. The Word of God is either heaven or hell.
It's purgatory, in a sense, is a second chance.
Well, there's no second chance after
that's
you
right.
die.
There is no second chance.
You either live here for the Lord and go to heaven when you die, mm-hmm. or you live
and
for
that
Satan
is,
and go to hell.
That is not to say, and I know Yvonne is not saying, that if you're a Catholic, you can't be a Christian.
I'm not saying that. That's why I didn't mention the
terminology. She's talking about purgatory.
Yes.
Not Catholicism. Yeah.
Right. Talking about purgatory.
Okay, Bruce, did you want to say something? I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to... You're trying to make sense out of this.
Yeah, I feel like a dummy in this crowd. I really do. I should keep my mouth shut.
No.
No.
That's the whole point. I want you to hear all the problems with these groups so that you can, when you meet them, you know this, and the Holy Spirit can guide you to witness to them. Okay, let me get to another one. Because remember I told you that the Godhead was twofold. Yep. Everybody's, no, no, no. Okay, now we come to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is not a person. This is a quote. I took this out directly. But the mind, essence, or being, and power of God. It.
There's a problem I got.
There's
where I got a problem.
If I simply made the statement, the Holy Spirit is an it, that would summarize this in my own words. But I took their words. It is a part of the Father and the Son.
But he's not a person in and of himself.
Right.
Force.
The Holy Spirit is not an it. And I've heard this in so many churches where they sing these hymns and they refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. That grieves me.
I know.
The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead with respect.
What hymn are you talking about that says the Holy Spirit?
Oh, one of those worship hymns where
yeah. The new ones.
Yeah.
But you know what? I found one.
I never heard one yet.
I have had work. I've heard of one. A couple, actually, in other places. And when we're going to sing them in the church that I go to, which is Methodist, I thought, oh, no, here we go again. I will say to the credit of the Methodists, the it had been changed to a he.
That should be.
It was. I don't remember.
Like those praise hymns, the Holy Spirit referred to him. Oh, I'm not good at remembering that.
I can't remember them either, but I saw them changed.
And
you know,
I'd holler it right out loud and let everybody sing when they get that part where they say, I'd say, he.
Well, and the same thing, let me put it this way. Same thing when you pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art
in heaven? Instead of which. Because, again, English. Which is used to refer to a thing.
In the hymn, Holy, 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 you say which worked in art. And I always learned it as who worked in art.
Right.
But now I've noticed in this, in the evangelism, it says which worked in art.
Yeah.
And ever shall, or shall be. The problem there, Martha, is we're looking at 17th century English, which did use which for a person. And we're correcting it to 20th century.
Yeah, see, we're...
That's the problem. It's not that we...
But they're looking...
That.
But see, when the cults use it, they go back to that old English. Yeah, ancient times. They go back to that old English and stick with it.
I'm taking a word for it. If you don't know Greek... But in the original Greek, the Holy Spirit, and it's not referred to as a ghost, it is referred to as spirit, a form of pneuma, and it is always masculine in nature. The Holy Spirit is a he, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Okay?
It's a person. He
right.
is, it yeah, I use that term, it is, a, you know, so it's kind of like, he is a person. Wait a minute, Marcus.
There are some Christian, well, not really Christian, but there are some groups that would say that we are wrong to even believe in the idea that God is three in one.
Oh, yeah, there are some.
There are some groups that practice that whole idea. Because for one thing, you will never find the word Trinity or triune anywhere in the Bible. It is a man-made word. The doctrine of the Trinity is clearly taught in the Bible.
Sure.
But the word itself is man-made.
Okay, now, let me draw my conclusions, and then we can discuss this until the choir starts to come in. Yeah. Okay. As you can tell, and I'm reading this word for word because I want to make sure all of it gets in. There are errors concerning the person of Christ, what the gospel is, and what will happen at the end of the world. They use the scripture but misinterpret it. You have that word use as manipulate. The way to reach them is to present the gospel in clear, simple terms. Break it down to where I did today. Don't talk about annihilation. Don't talk about eternal punishment. Because they'll explain that away. But you're going to live forever in hell. Now, you can't misinterpret those words at all. They will try to explain away some of the truth. But the Holy Spirit will speak to their hearts. And they will make their choice to accept or reject Christ now. They know enough to realize that some things are distorted if we present things clearly and simply. They're going to see the difference. Now, if Bruce were to bring out some of the things he talked about, he mentioned, they can see that there's some contradictions here. but they're afraid to think for themselves, leaving questions in their minds is one way to get them to think for themselves. And that I cannot express. Mike made one point, make them define what they mean. Leave them with a question. You say this, but the scripture says this. Do you know how to resolve this difference? Now, they're going to think for themselves because they've been taught something else. Leave them with the question. What happens with the questions?
The Holy Spirit gives the chance
to minister to them. That's right. The Holy Spirit now has the chance to minister to them. When you have given the truth of the gospel to them, that is the end of your responsibility, other than to pray for them, because God is speaking to their hearts. And he... Of course. Now, if you have people, if you know people like this and you come across them, do you say, oh, they're ungodly, I can't participate. I can't talk to them. They're wait a minute. It's like you said this morning. If you don't talk to them, they'll never hear it. I didn't say you were going to go on vacation with them. I didn't say that. But I did. But if you sit down over a cup of coffee, it's amazing how much easier a conversation is. That's not going to hurt you.
Is this what Jesus meant when he said, sow seed?
Yes.
Yes.
I said, you're right. I'm going to agree with you, Bruce. You planted
the seed, you let the Holy Spirit water and nourish it, and he will find somebody if you can't finish it.
That's right.
Some will sow, some will reap the crop.
It's called friendship evangelism.
What it is. Yeah. See, and this is back what I said to the Bible. If we can get the Word of God in our hearts, like our blood, we wouldn't have this. And my burden has been those people that have heard the Word and rejected for some odd foolish reason. It's worse for them to have heard than them to have it, but we're commanded to go tell.
Okay, now, that is the end. I apologize for reading so much of that, but it really, it's complicated. I mean, I couldn't memorize all that. But any quick comments? Connie's coming, and I bet she's here for choir practice. Okay. Let's have one question at a time and one person at a time, okay? Yes. Who was it?
It's Karen.
Okay, Karen.
I was taught purgatory and limbo.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband keeps bringing it up every time there's something in there about the Catholics. And they believe that when a person dies, the only way that they can get to heaven is by saying a mass.
Mm-hmm.
They got to have at least 2,000 about 2,000 masses said for them. They go up a level. They don't. When my mom came to visit me one day, I talked to her. I said, do you know what it means to have your name written in the book of life? And she just laughed at me. My mother, I didn't know anything about the Bible until I started going to Bible Study Fellowship. And that was after I was married. And every book I read was new to me because I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know salvation even existed. I was confirmed and received First Communion. But I didn't know what it meant.
No. And these people don't know, for the most part, the people, you're right, Karen, you didn't know, and it's the same story with these people. They came up as Herbert Armstrong, Roderick Meredith, and so on, and they trust them, they listen to them, and what they say about the Bible. They may read it for themselves, but they have a bias in their mind, or a train of thought that they run along. They run along one track, so to speak, and they don't know that there's any other tracks out there. You got to get them to listen to something different.
Yeah. It's Yvonne Lawrence talking, and I wanted to dovetail on what Karen had said. I was born and bred a Catholic. As a youngster, if a Catholic man married a Protestant woman, they had to sign papers back then that you were going to raise your child Catholic. So, of course, I was raised Catholic. I went through all of the motions that she went through. In fact, my father was a very devout Catholic. I went to Mass 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, even before I made First Holy Communion. I made my First Holy Communion. I was confirmed and all of those other things, too. So proficient in the church after 9 o'clock Mass, 10 o'clock, I taught the sodality class, which is equal to a Protestant's catechism class. I also sang high Mass from time to time in Latin. So me three. So I know it, and yes, as I began to go to a Protestant church, which we were forbidden to go to, you know, we weren't supposed to go to Protestant churches. But I went because my sister-in-law was an evangelist in one of the churches around the corner. And I began to listen to the word being taught, because the priest does not teach the word. He reads excerpts out of the missal, which I knew after a year backwards, forwards, and sideways, even as a young child. So you really never get the whole word. You just get excerpts that's printed in that book. And it's the same thing every year, same words, same pages. Nothing changes. So as I got older, as soon as I got out of high school, I went to the Catholic Church one more time, and then the Lord directed me, that is not the place for you to stay, because I got tired of genuflecting at statues. And God's word said, you know, have no other gods before me. And I thought about that. I said, well, why do I go to church and go up to the altar and light candles, pray to Mary? We respect Jesus by genuflecting. We go to do the signs of the cross. Something's wrong with the picture, as the young folks would say.
Yeah.
But I do remember my mother, God bless her. She did read the Bible to us at home. She read the Bible, so I knew something of the word. But still, I was following customs that weren't right.
Yeah, but see, God draws.
Yes, he does.
In circumstances. There are certain people, some people haven't said anything, and I'm not going to force you to say anything, but I'm going to take a special invitation. If you haven't made any comments at all, and you're just having a hard time getting your valuable comment in, please raise your hand now.
Where are you?
Anybody? Okay, yes.
Here you go.
Okay, I want to make sure that you have the opportunity. Okay. No. Mary, did you want to say anything?
Yes, it wasn't a valuable comment. But
it is a valuable comment.
Yes, ma'am.
And then it goes to Norman.
Okay. I thought I heard you say something about someone on TBN or Daystar.
I don't know about Daystar.
Okay, you were saying something, though, and I don't know if
it's
you
meant... TBN.
TBN.
But did you mention a particular person's name? Yes, no?
Roderick Meredith.
Roderick Meredith.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just trying to recall.
That's Who I Heard Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That was a worldwide thing.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't listen to that. Okay, I'm just trying to...
That's who it is.
Okay.
I recognized it immediately.
Okay. Norman.
Now, some of these groups have incorporated a few things that Orthodox Christians accept, and that's part of our problem. You talked about holy sanctified. Well, our holiness churches, Nazarenes, and some of them like to teach that, but the best explanation I heard of that was when you say yes to the Holy Spirit, it's the first time that you say yes to God from now on. it's not the last time you say no to sin. A good explanation.
Yes.
Now, our Seventh-day Adventist friends have dietary laws. Some make it a hard and fast rule. Some prefer being vegetarian. Now, they don't compel me to be that, but they prefer that.
And there's a big difference there.
Yes. And our Worldwide Church of God, Herbert W. Armstrong, I remember Garner Ted on the radio, and I remember hearing Rod Meredith, and I remember, according to Hank Hanegraaff, which I don't listen to him all the time, he thinks that Richard Tkach has taken the Worldwide Church of God to evangelical, and it's a standard denomination. Well, I don't know, but he thinks so. So we have to watch sometimes every voice we hear. And I'm not sure I made all my point, but I was headed in the right direction.
Okay.
Now, some people do teach they're annihilated for eternity and that you cease to exist. That's your punishment for being an unbeliever. Now, some groups almost teach that, and most of them are cultic, but we have to know who's who. Now I'll stop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bob, can we get the microphone to Bob? Okay, now, from here, you know, I'm assuming that other people, you know, that now, you know, you can make comments because I issued that invitation to people who hadn't said a thing in case you were having trouble.
Martha, I want to commend you for doing something that you seem to want to apologize for. Just hold on. Some of this stuff is so strange. We wouldn't believe it if you told us. So you read it to us directly from their publications. Then it's clear. This is what they say. This is not what Martha says. They say. I appreciate that. And keep doing it because that's where we learn.
Okay. Thank you. I think this is one of the abilities that the Lord has given me and a way that I can serve him in a very particular way that not everybody can.
My doubts and my questioning what I heard on Sunday. Of course, I've heard Herbert and I've heard Garner. And I felt a check in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And then as soon as you said all this stuff, the Holy Spirit said, what you heard, Doris, this is it.
That's the reason I sent for their literature, because I wanted to get it in a context and get it to get it from what they said.
Yeah, because it just confirmed everything that I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Right on, Doris.
What a group.
Yeah, frightening.
Yeah, it is.
Truly frightening.
But, you know, you'd be surprised at a lot of
people. Last year were frightening,
I don't know. I mean, I just feel that, you know, this Christianity, our Christianity is being threatened on every side, but, you know, there are things that we run across, and we know that's wrong, but here we find it attacked. I mean, Scientology, okay, that's kind of crazy, but, you know, we'd probably figure that one out, but the second one, it's so insidious. It breaks in, and it the Holy Spirit puts a check in your mind. Now you need the information. Yep. And this is the thing that I think is really important as Christians, is that we listen to that check that the Holy Spirit gives us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And don't go looking. I mean, you know, you think, oh, he's a good preacher. And I wonder if he has any, are there any churches in that group around here I think I'll go visit? The Lord led you to the church where you are. Hopefully he led you there. Stay there. I explore things.
You know a good book to read is The Kingdom of the Cults.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Von Balaam's book, The Kingdom of the Cults. He does, but he doesn't.
Well, no, he doesn't have all the groups.
No, Larson's Book of Cults is also a good one. Yeah, he's a little more down to earth, a little more basic. And it's more up to date than the Kingdom of the Cults, too.
Oh, the Kingdom of Cults, well, that's an older book.
Yeah. Larson's Book of Cults has about 100 cults in it.
Oh, wow.
I
want
to read that one.
Walter Martin's Kingdom of the Cults.
Okay, yeah, Walter Martin.
It's been around since I was a student at Kentucky Christian because it was our textbook for cults.
I still have that book.
That's how old it is. So.
But you'll find that a lot of the cults, just like Worldwide Church of God, broke into all these splinters. And I only described two of them. But if you understand the Worldwide Church of God, where they came from, you kind of have an idea about these splinters. But I picked these two because I thought, you know, they went two different directions, really. They did. But this new one is...
But you know, you'd be surprised the people that would go for a lot of that stuff.
Oh, definitely. And I'm going to tell you something else. I say this with an apology to people who recite it. But you know what? A lot of churches, you go... Susan, do you mind if I share your comment that you made to me Sunday morning?
No.
Okay. Sunday morning, when you guys went to the Cowboy Church, I couldn't go because the transportation was... Susan didn't go because she didn't know about the noise level. And we were going to sing, and we didn't bring songbooks or anything. We just decided to sing what we do. And Susan said she didn't know too many because the only time she gets access to a songbook is when she comes here. So she doesn't know a lot of the songs. Now, you don't know, if you, as a blind person, attend a church where you don't have access to the scriptures, because you can't just take your Braille Bible to church. Not really. And even large print, you can have a problem. A songbook. Does your denomination have a large print songbook?
Yes. No.
Mine, the Methodists do. So, now, if you have access to that, you can participate in worship. If not, you're a spectator, like you went to a baseball game. Now, let me tell you something about these cults. They make it so you're not a spectator. You can look through material that's available free to the blind. Unitarianism, Christadelphian, Swedenborgianism.
Unity.
Yeah, unity. All of the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, all of these people have free cassettes, free Braille. No, thank you. But Karen, you have your church, but what do you do with people who don't have anything, don't know, and you know that man is incurably religious. And if I came to you, and you, let's say okay, I'm going to go to my ESL now. Let's say I'm going to go to Bob. I'm going to pick on Bob. Okay? Bob speaks Turkish. And there's no Turkish church in the area. And there's no Turkish anything. He's not Muslim. He's just nothing. Okay, as far as religion. And I come to, as a Jehovah's Witness, I come to Bob with material in Turkish. Now, thank you, Bob. Uh-huh. Why? Tell me why. Mm-hmm.
And that's what they, that's what they want. They want you to read their material.
Yeah.
Dory?
Bible study with them, because I had a friend who was Jehovah's Witness, and I wanted to know what they were teaching her, because I wanted to get her out of the cult. And I always told them, I am not going to convert to Jehovah's Witness. They had somebody write to me in Braille. Even a Mormon missionary wrote to me in Braille to try to convince me to join their church. And they make you feel a part of it. And as soon as you drop out and tell them that you are not going to be part of their group anymore, they just drop you like a hot potato, because they want to draw you in.
Yeah. And this is a particular problem in the blind community.
But no, not only that, there was a lady on my job who was going to get married. This was a Jehovah's Witness. And what happened was, the person that she was going to marry, they investigated. And before she got married, because I think the person, I don't know if the person that belonged or thought about beginning, you know what I mean? I don't know, you know, the ins and outs. But they investigated him as well as her before they got married. And she sent me their books. And, of course, naturally, I gave them back. I didn't even try to read it because I wasn't interested. And I gave her back. And see, like, if you go to a wedding, like I did, there was a man in the sitting just like how we're sitting here, and he wanted to talk and try to convert me. I said, "Listen, you don't belong to the Trinity, and I'm not dealing with you folks."
Okay, I did see some people in the hall, so I think maybe we. But I want to close with a story. This is a true story. This happened to me while I was teaching at the Maine Bible Institute in Philadelphia. I taught cults. I had a lady in my class who had, I don't know that she was mentally retarded. I don't believe she was. I believe that her problem was she had a totally inadequate education. She had no idea how to answer questions for homework. It had taken her 3 years to get out of the first year. And finally, they just set her up to second year. And they were convinced that she was never going to pass my class. I was told, well, you'll probably see her for the next 3 years. I got to tell you, at the end of that year, that lady got a B for me in cults. And I'm going to tell you why. Because, you know, like you're saying, oh, I don't understand all this stuff about cults. Okay. And we mentioned about letting the Holy Spirit direct you and listen to the Holy Spirit. One day, these people came along every house in her block, invited them to a caterer's for a dinner, free dinner. Everybody in the block was gone except her. And I said, Evelyn, you mean you're not going? And she said, no. The Holy Spirit told me not to go. Now, we hadn't even covered this cult yet. We hadn't even covered. It was the Moonies. We hadn't even covered it yet because I did them alphabetically. And she said, the Lord told me not to go. That's what she told her neighbors. And they laughed at her. And they went to the dinner. And she said, it was like she was holding open house the next day. Because all these people were coming, all her neighbors were coming to her door. Evelyn, how did you know what these people were? She said, I don't know what they said, but they said it was so wrong. And they were churchgoers. And they said, Evelyn, you're bright, you're wonderful. Let's have a Bible class. And I gave her a B in that class. I couldn't give her an A because she, you know, I gave her a B because honestly, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll know when you're involved in a cult. And she did. And I was so, that's one of the things that was so thrilling. When you give people the tools, and that's what all I can do is give you the tools to start with. And share them with you. And trust that God will use them as fruit. I'm going to close in prayer. Bob, could you close in prayer for us? The microphone.
Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the tools we've been given this afternoon. And Lord, help us to remember to use them. A tool unused is useless to us and to you. We thank you for being able to give us the opportunity to attend and to attend with attention and ask good questions. And also, if we still have a few questions we haven't had answers, find Martha. But listen more importantly to what the Lord tells us, just as she told us about this gal who said, I'm not going. Smartest thing she ever did. And she doesn't really know why. That's okay. But again, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of being together, hearing your word, understanding your word, putting your word to work in our lives, and trusting you to say, go or stop. And all in this room said, amen. Amen.